Aren't you glad we can sing about the blood still and its power? There's so many places today you'll go, you'll never hear anything about the blood. You can turn on the TV and watch some of the famous and the ones that seem to be more popular people on TV that's supposed to be some type of pastor evangelist. You won't hear him say about the blood. You won't hear him talk about the blood and its power. You won't hear him talk about sin. You won't hear him talking about anything that might be considered negative, because all they want you to hear is a positive side. But how can you know the positive side without hearing the negative side? How can you know that Jesus died for your sins if you didn't know that you're a sinner? How can you know you can have everlasting life through the blood of Jesus Christ if you never hear that he shed his blood on the cross for Calvary? Well, we're going to talk about this same Jesus today in Acts chapter 1. We're going to read a few verses here you're familiar with. Acts chapter 1, verse 9 through 11. Acts chapter 1, verse 9 through 11 says, "And when he had spoken these things," talking about Jesus after his resurrection, spending time with his disciples and the believers, "while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." And we're going to talk about this same Jesus. It won't be necessarily just this one verse. But I know when we're speaking about Jesus, it can make some people mad. It can make some people joyful. When we understand things about Jesus, it can just be knowledge that we have of him, or a knowledge and an application of him. We've been talking about that in our Sunday school class on Bible application. And not only knowing Jesus and knowing the Bible, but applying Jesus and applying the Bible in our daily walk in life. God wants us to know him, but he also wants to apply him in our lives and our hearts. We not only need to know about Jesus, we need to apply him to our lives and our daily walk. And I believe that every person can apply Jesus in their life by understanding four truths found in the scriptures. And we're going to talk about this same Jesus and what he can do for the world today, before in the scriptures here, he can also do even today. And as we talk about this, the first truth we know in scripture tells us that this same Jesus that created this world also created you. You know, in John 1 through 3, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made." Why is this important? Because Jesus, this same Jesus in the scriptures here that created the world, also created you and me. And why that's important for us to understand and be able to apply Jesus in our life, in our heart on a daily basis, is we have to understand that we are the way we are because he made us that way. Not the elements that we fall into with sin and how we may transform what God has made us into something different by putting stuff all over our bodies or putting stuff within our bodies that's ruining the temple that God gave us. We may destroy some things that God created, just like we are sometimes in his landscaping, but that doesn't change the fact that God created you the way you are. Well, so I don't like how short I am. I never liked the way how short I am. You know what God did to help me out? He allowed me to have a dad that was a golden glove boxer. He taught me how to box, and I never had any problems in school being short. I overcame that problem. Here's a problem other people had about me. Oh, you're so short. Well, I can fix that. I can make you my size real fast. Let's go there. But maybe you might say, well, I don't like how short I am. Well, maybe you don't like how tall I am. I'm not looking at Dirk because I'm not even looking in that direction. I'm not even saying his name. I had to look. And then maybe you don't like how round you are. Maybe not how you can get behind a blade of grass and you'd be lost. You may not like the way you look physically. Maybe you're not as smart as you think you should be. Or maybe you don't think you can and speak as well as somebody else. Or maybe you don't think you can sing as well as somebody else. Or maybe you wish something was different about you. But I'm telling you today, you have to understand that God created you the way you are for a purpose. You are the way you are because God created you that way for a purpose. We're not all supposed to look the same. We're not supposed to look the same, act the same, be the same, think the same, and feel the same. We're going to have different emotions. We're going to have different ways of reacting to certain things that happen in our life. We're all different. But God wants us to take that difference and serve Him and be a member of His work and His family to give Him glory and honor and praise, and we can do that. He's given us the abilities through the Holy Spirit. He's given us special gifts of the Spirit. We can apply those to allow ourselves, the way we are, to be used. I told you over and over again those different stories. I met some wonderful people over the years. And you see some of these stories on TV and say, oh, how inspiring that is, that someone, some athlete is running a marathon or something. He lost both his legs in Afghanistan or something. And that's great. But I know people that are in that condition that God allowed them to lose their legs or not have legs or be paralyzed, and they're still serving God today. They're still on the field today. They're still telling people about Jesus. They're still trying to reach the young people. They're still trying to reach the teenagers. They're still trying to get people on the field, in a mission field, and go out there and do something for Jesus. It doesn't matter about their disability. It doesn't matter if they don't have any legs. It doesn't matter if they can't see or can't hear right. They're still doing something for God. Because they realize in their life that this same Jesus that created this world created me and you, and I'm going to use myself for God's glory. Doesn't matter what you look like. Doesn't matter what you're like if you don't like everything about you. You take it up with the Master when you see Him. But you can still use every area that God has given you in your life and your heart and your physical body for God's glory. It doesn't matter if you're big, tall, small, whatever it is. God made you that way. You need to accept it and use yourself for God's glory. God wants you to be used. He created you that way. I don't know why God created some things in this world like mosquitoes. I mean, and why we have so many of them in one area, like the backyard of the church. You can't even go to that building back there. You're eating up. You got to get a blood transfusion just to get from here to there. I don't know why he did that. God has a purpose for those things. He has a purpose for you too. You may feel like you're just a mosquito in his life, but God can use you for his glory if you want to be. This same Jesus that created the world created you and I, and we need to accept the fact and move on and know that we can apply Jesus just the way we are in our life and know him more than we've ever known him before. This same Jesus also that came to save this world came to save you. Isn't that a wonderful thought? I mean, John 3:16 tells us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. We know God gave his life for the world. But we also know the world is not going to heaven. Because now the world hasn't all believed in Jesus Christ. Most people hate him. You can't even mention him in some places in country, including ours sometimes. Try to go to a public school and say, Jesus saves! See if you're not arrested and thrown out. They don't like his name. They don't want to know about him. But you know, Jesus gave his life. That same Jesus gave his life for the world, gave his life for you and I. There's another verse that tells us in Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. You know, without Jesus, we were all lost. We're all going to hell. We're all without the righteousness of God and the ability to be able to go to glory. And we have to accept the fact that the same Jesus that died for this world also died for you and I. And for them out there that are still out there without Jesus Christ. How did you hear about Jesus? Did someone tell you about him? Did you receive a tract? Maybe all of them. I had all that happen to me. I had people that witnessed to me. I had people that gave me tracts. I had people invite me to church. I went to church services. I mean, it was a combination of a lot of things. And that's what God usually does. It takes us a while because we're so hard-headed to get the facts. It's usually not just one time you talk to somebody and they get saved. There's been something going on in the background. Been a lot of prayers, a lot of things going on for that person to get saved at that moment. A lot of people have done some watering and seeding for that person to get saved. But what about you? What did it take for you? And why is it that we can't always understand that we need to apply Jesus in our daily walk and understand that Jesus saved me, just like he saved you the same way, and he wants to save the others out there. And we need to give them the gospel just like we got it. I mean, it's a little selfish sometimes for us to think, well, we got a ticket to heaven, but we don't want anybody else to know about it. Why? They need a ticket of glory too. They all need to go. They all can go. God gave his life for the whole world. But the whole world isn't going to go because they don't understand and believe that Jesus is their Savior. And that same Jesus saved the world came to save you and I. And we know that we as believers know that the Son of Man came to seek and to save you that was lost. You can put your name in there. He came to save you. And if you ever get to grasp that and place God in your heart and understand I can apply Jesus in my heart and life and realize that he came to save me, it'll impact your life more than ever. You'll have a closer relationship with God when you finally realize that he gave his life not just for the world. He gave his life for you. In particular, for you. He gave his life for you. And when you finally realize that, you'll stand up and say, you know what? I am somebody in this world. I can serve him because he created me the way I am. I do have a purpose because he gave his life for me. You make it personalized. You accepted him as your personal Savior, and he is your personal Savior. And you need to realize in your life that he died for you. It ought to just bring happiness and joy and excitement and be exuberant about what God has done for you and why he gave his life for you. You start thinking about how God sacrificed himself on the cross and died a painful death and shed his wonderful blood all over the ground. And the people in the crowds hated him and cheered when he died. And he did it all for you. For you. What a God. That's a God I want to serve and love. This same Jesus that created this world created me and you. This same Jesus that saved this world saved me and you. But you know another truth, this same Jesus that healed in this world can heal you as well. We forget about that sometimes because of all the nonsense that goes on in this world. But Matthew 14 says, "And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick." Are we thinking today and not applying Jesus in our heart and life every day and thinking somehow by doubting our faith that somehow God has no compassion anymore on the people of this world and he does not want to heal anybody anymore? Is that how we're thinking? Because that's not the God I know. The God I know still heals people today. He still has compassion. He still wants his people to call upon him and trust that everything's going to be okay. Now, is he going to heal every time, every sickness, every person? No. We see that in scriptures. People died in the scriptures that are saints of God. People were being prayed by Paul and others, and it took a while for his servant to get better. Not all of them survived. Not all of them were healed. But that was just God's plan. There's a purpose for that. But sometimes people were healed. And the day that we live in today, we stop forgetting that the same God that healed the sick and had compassion on the people that he was walking with still has compassion on people today. And we think, well, I'm not going to pray that they get healed. I just don't believe God would do that. Well, you're believing wrong. We ought to pray for every person, every saint, every believer, everybody that we know, we ought to pray that God will heal them. And in some cases, he will. In some cases, it's not going to happen. That's his will. But that doesn't mean that he's not going to heal. It may mean that we don't have enough faith to believe that he will heal. But the God I serve still heals today. And it's not for one person's glory. It's not for somebody to get on TV and say, I have the gift of healing. It's for God's glory. He doesn't want it to be a public display. No one's going to get saved from that. all they're going to do is give their money to that clown that said he had the gift of healing. But what he can do is behind the scenes, you can go ahead and pray for yourself and for your family and for your church and ask that God will heal them, have mercy on them, have compassion on them, and heal them from the illness. And if he does and when he does, you be sure to give God the glory and the praise. Because no one knew that you were praying for them. But when they get healed, everybody ought to know that you're praising him. God wants open praise. You know, he's going to humble those that exalt themselves. He's going to exalt those that humble themselves. And so God wants you to humbly come before him and ask him for anything, including help and healing when someone needs it. And understand that he can provide. He can heal. He's the same God yesterday and today and forever. He has never changed. The same God that healed all those multitudes in the desert can heal people today. He hasn't changed. He hasn't lost his power. He hasn't lost his compassion. He's still healing people today. That same Jesus that healed in the world can heal you today if you need it. But you know, one more truth I'm just going to go and we're going to be done. It's this same Jesus that left this world will not leave you in this world. You see, these disciples were looking up in the heaven. They saw him taken up in a cloud. And these two come next to him and say, "You men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you in heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." Do you realize that those guys that are standing there thinking that, "Well, I'm not going to leave. He said he's going to come back in like manner. I'm going to wait until he comes back." And they may have stood there all night and said, "Well, maybe it's not going to be tonight." And they came back tomorrow. And I said, Where is he? He said he's going to come back the same way. He's going to be in that cloud. There's a nice cloud. That looks like a cloud. That looks like an angel up there. It might be him. No, he didn't come back. They didn't say when he was going to come back, but we know he is coming back. John 14:3 tells us, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Praise the Lord. That same Jesus that left this world will not leave us in this world. He says, "I'm going to have to leave you here for a while, but don't worry about it. I'm going to send a comforter, Holy Spirit. He's going to comfort you. He's going to be with you forever. And I will never leave you or forsake you." Because when Jesus left, the Holy Spirit came, and we dwelt with the Holy Spirit in our hearts and lives as believers. And when we meet Jesus Christ, we're not going to have the Holy Spirit living with us anymore because we're going to be in the presence of God. So that there's not going to be any break in time. We're constantly going to be in the presence of God from our salvation forth. And we can always trust and believe that same Jesus that left this world is not going to leave us here either. We've got a home. We're just passing through. We're not going to be here long. We got a job to do while we're here, and once that job is done, we get to go home, and we're going to be in the presence of God. We know it because God promised it. We know it because this same Jesus that left is coming back. And when he comes back, he's going to bring us with him. We're going to be with him forever and ever and ever. This same Jesus that we speak of, this same Jesus that we read about in the Bible, this same Jesus that we preach about today is the same Jesus that needs to be applied in our hearts and life. Remember, you have a purpose in this life. He created you the way he did for a purpose. And you can fulfill that purpose. He came in this world to save you, and he came to save others. And we can be that light into the world to tell people about Jesus Christ. He healed this world from many illnesses. He can heal us if we'll just ask. He left this world, but he's coming back. And he's going to take us out of this world. This same Jesus we need to apply in our hearts and lives every day. It's not just knowledge of him. It's applying the knowledge that we have of Jesus in our daily walk in life and realizing that, hey, we're a child of God. He saved me. He loves me. He heals me. He takes care of me. He's given me a role. He's given me something to accomplish. I got something to do for the King. And we can accomplish it for him and be faithful till he comes back for us. Let's all stand and ask God to help us for a few moments as we go to him in prayer. And just ask the Lord to meet our need this morning, whatever it may be. Maybe we're here and we're thinking that we're not 100% sure that we gave our life to Christ. Maybe you need to do that today. Maybe you need to know you're a child of God. Maybe you've always had a knowledge of God. You know who Jesus is. You've heard the stories about him. But are you related to him? The only way to be related to Jesus Christ is to be in his bloodline. The only way you're going to be in his bloodline is to trust him as your Savior, that the blood that he shed on the cross will be applied to your wicked heart, that you could be righteous in the sight of God. All you need to do is call upon him today and ask him to save you. Maybe you're here and you know you're saved and you know you're going to heaven. Maybe we forgot that we need to apply Jesus in our heart and life every day. Maybe we forgot that he died for me, for you. He gave his life that I could have everlasting life. Maybe we forgot that he created us the way we are for a purpose. And we can fulfill that purpose and be faithful to him to the end. And maybe we got so bogged down in this world that we forgot Jesus is coming back. He's going to take me out of this old wicked world. I'm not going to have to deal with it for much longer. I can make it. Whatever the need is, let God have his way as we pray. Father, thank you for the time that you've given us here today. We ask that you'll bless our service and our invitation time, that people may pray and seek you right now for whatever need they have, that you may save their soul or encourage them and help them. And I pray, Father, that you'll just stir in the hearts and help us make the right decisions for you. In Jesus' name. Amen. As we pray together, if you have a need you'd like to come to the altar for, if you want to come talk to me about something, maybe you just want to pray where you're at. Just let God have his way in your heart right now. Whatever the need is.